Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome to the shores of El Pacifico, and welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We appreciate your indulgence the past couple of nights. The news has been very, very tough, and it is on nights like that that we would rather not just harangue you with the obvious everything that that America seemed to be interested in had to do, and rightfully so, with the very sad events in Boston. Thank Dan Northcraft, our engineer. We had a couple of nights of best of. There was some work that I was doing this morning on the television side of things. So all in all, I appreciate you guys hanging with us. And, of course, we're live tonight. We're live at philhendryshow.com, a live streaming video of our show right now. And for those of you who are looking at our video cast, the Philcast, I'm wearing one of our ball caps. This is the official Phil Hendry Show cap, which it would be great if we had a baseball team, because we've got a... you know, we almost have a uniform.
Well, the you're not saying you'd go out on a field with those T-shirts, are you?
What's wrong with them?
Are you kidding? The T-shirts look... I don't know.
Well, not the T-shirts, no, you know.
What's wrong with them?
They're not professional, bud. You got to have good-looking shirts, you know.
I wouldn't... if I were you, I wouldn't be seen in those... You need a professional look in terms of the ball caps, the T-shirts. You go out with that ball cap, you're going to look like one of those people that,
That what?
I don't know how to describe it, because I have great sensitivity to the homeless, but...
Oh, okay, here we go.
No, not here we go. I'm trying to think of the image of your radio program. If you go out with a baseball cap like that, people are going to think that you're one of the...
One of the people that, I don't know, have AIDS?
Yes, one of the people that will not have AIDS, but...
Oh, this is we're already off into something.
Phil, don't... I thought you believed in free speech.
Yeah, what about free speech?
There ain't no free speech. Like, to quote Danny Aiello in Do the Right Thing, you know what? There's no freedom here. Huh? See this? There's no freedom here. This is a dictatorship. When he was talking about Sal's Pizzeria.
What are you talking about?
Do the Right Thing. Didn't you see that? It was a black director, Margaret. A liberal like you.
Oh, yes, I do. No, not a liberal. Yes, of course, I saw it. No, you don't have to give me that kind of crap. I saw it.
Okay, well, anyway, one of my heroes in that movie... among many of them, is Danny Aiello when he was running the pizzeria, and he says, see this? There's no free here. There's no free. What do you mean freedom? There's no free here. This is my... See that? That's free. You take that pizza, that's a delivery. Go take that delivery, take it. That's free. That's your freedom. I love that movie. All right. So in any event, you're looking at the official Phil Hendry Show ball cap. Go to our online store and get a ball cap, man. Get a T-shirt. Get a Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. Get a... I don't know. You know what we're going to have this summer? We're going to have Milwaukee Lion gear. Oh, yeah. When I say gear, we're...
a lot of people will ask about that.
We're going to have the Milwaukee Lion football jersey for sure. We're going to have... I don't know if it's up to me. We would have a full Milwaukee Lion football helmet, a stadium, a team. And then we could just all get rich on that and not have to do this. All right, anyway, welcome to the program. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. By the way, if you enjoyed our classic podcasts that we made available to you on iTunes, as well as SoundCloud and through the Sideshow Network, those podcasts, those classic podcasts, are still being produced, one new podcast a day. And you can have those delivered to your listening device automatically if you get a backstage pass at philhendryshow.com. Now, here's the thing. That's $9.99 a month, man. Those podcasts alone are worth the price of admission.
I would agree.
I mean, think about it. You get a half an hour a day of our classic archive material, $9.99 a month. I mean, that doesn't... What's that come out to a day, bud?
Two cents.
2 cents.
That ain't 2 cents a day, man. That'd be 60 cents a month.
No, it's... I'll tell you what it is. It's 30, goes into the night. How much is it?
$9.99 a month. And for... Okay, so $9.99 a month.
Slow down, Phil. You're... It's what?
$9.99 a month.
All right. So you got... What?
I'll do it, bud.
Hold on. So you take the 30.
Oh, will you listen to Phil? If we're not eating with our hands here. Will you let me do it?
All right, fine. So in any event, it comes to pennies a day. I'll tell you that right now.
I've got the answer. $9.99 a month divided by 30 equals... you take the 2, goes over the 3.
Here, let me do it.
Hey!
You ever grab anything out of my hands again, bud? And I'm going to put something in you.
God, that sounds like you got a strap on.
Oh, you...
Hey!
a script.
Bud, that was vile, man. I mean, that was...
He's the one who said she's going to put it in me.
No, let's talk about a knife.
How about a knife?
All right, take it easy, will you? For crying out loud, you're threatening people this early? It's unbelievable. Anyway, all kinds of crazy stuff happening on the website, including possible return. You know, we still got Skippy and Frank in the wings, man. They are, I don't know, Skippy and Frank may be back this week. I swear to God, they may be back this week. All right. We are going to have with us tonight Don Berman to talk about an overweight teen suing Rachel Ray. Don Berman, among the many things that he's reported on during his time at Channel 19, he had a weight problem, and he battled weight and battled the battle of the bulge, the calories. And Don was very successful, and he's going to be telling us about this teen, believe it or not, an overweight teen that has been that apparently is blaming Rachel Ray for his or her, I don't know, is it a girl or a guy?
It's hard to tell on account of the fat.
What are you talking about?
Wait a minute. What do you mean, Bud?
Well, I don't know. I would think that it would be.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen her yet.
Well, if you haven't seen her or him or it, then don't say that it's hard to tell because of the fat.
Well, we make an assumption that most likely be hard to tell.
Be hard to tell the gender because of the fat layover.
You know something, Phil? If you don't do it, I will. And I'm telling you, I'm bringing knitting needles in tomorrow in this purse.
No, you will not do that, Margaret.
Why can't...
You will not do that.
You're going to threaten me with a knitting needle.
Well, then don't act the fool, Bud. Don't act the fool and tempt me. Don't tempt me to dissect you like a frog in one of those little metal bites.
All right, so that's one of the stories we're going to be covering for you. As far as all the others, there was an explosion at a fertilizer plant, and I don't think there have been any serious, I don't think there's been any fatalities, but I'll update that. But they had the explosion on one of the news channels, and I say they had it, someone had filmed it. These days, everything is sooner or later, everything's on video, man. We're learning that, aren't we? Especially over the last few days, and they had this explosion at this fertilizer plant, and they kept playing it over and over and over again. And I made this point on the Phil TV when we were talking about the news in the early part of the week. I said, you know, how come they play the explosions over and over and over again, and yet I don't get to see a guy, you know, when his leg gets busted in the game?
Oh, please.
What do you mean, oh, please?
Yeah, that's a pretty good point.
What do you mean, please? Why, in other words, if a guy gets his leg busted in a sporting event, they are, oh, no, don't show that. Oh, God, no, don't. But when a bomb goes off, it's like boom, ba-ba-boom, ba-ba-boom, over and over and over and over and over again.
Are you saying you didn't like it?
What do you mean, like it?
Are you saying it wasn't compelling? Ah, gotcha.
No, no, hold on.
Gotcha.
No, no, wait, what do you mean compelling?
You have to admit, Phil, because I was watching Frank during that fertilizer explosion.
Yeah.
That was tonight.
Yes.
He was sitting in front of the television set with the jaw just dropped open. Literally, his mouth was hanging open. He was just, And I said, Frank, my God, would you shut your mouth? And he said, what do you mean? I said, your mouth is hanging open. He said, well, this is very compelling. Did you see this? And I looked. And it was the fertilizer blast going on over and over and over again. And he was just with the mouth. And I said, yes, he said, not the explosion. Did you see the Max? Did you see the panty liner ad? And I said, what panty liner ad? He said, oh, it's not on now. But that's, well.
Yeah.
That's why his mouth was hanging open. But what I'm saying is he was compelled by the look of a disaster.
What's a disaster about a panty liner?
Because if I have to answer, do I answer him?
Yes. You're telling all of us.
Because the woman that was in the ad was grotesque. Thank you.
Well, Margaret, I mean...
No, not well, Margaret.
I thought you were going to say that Frank was compelled by the exploding fertilizer.
That too, yes. But mostly because this panty liner ad for Little Miss Panty... I don't know these companies anymore. What is the name of it?
We got like our legs.
Yeah, Legos.
Not Legos, you jet.
Hey, hey. It ain't Legos, Bud.
It's,
Got a panty liner.
In any event, so Frank was staring like he was looking at an automobile accident because the woman on the panty liner ad was grotesque.
Pretty much, yes.
All right. I would be staring with my jaw hanging open at this fertilizer bomb going on over and over and over and over again, but they keep looping this stuff over and over and over again. And that's fine, and I understand why they do that, because it keeps people watching. But for some reason, when it comes to sports injuries, maybe it's because the sports injuries are actually a turnoff.
Yeah, there's no person being injured.
Yeah, you don't see anybody get, you know.
All right. We'll be right back, folks, with Don Berman as we talk here about an overweight teen suing Rachel Ray, the television personality, suing Rachel Ray because the kid's fat, and the kid is saying she did it. He wanted to be skinny. He was fat. He hooked up with her, and not only did she not have sex with him, she made it. No, I'm just kidding, but, well, it...
That was uncalled for.
No, it wasn't. It was called for. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is Don Berman. And before we have Don come on the line, he is at the in the newsroom of Channel 19 News. I know that we have been monitoring this. Well, you know what? Let's do it later. Let's do it later, because I don't want to mix and mingle these things. And it's not that important at this particular juncture of the of the evening.
You want to put the thing?
No, I don't need to do it, bud.
You can put it over there.
Yeah, put it right here.
Get that out of my face, man. I'm about to interview somebody, okay?
Put it over here. Let me have it.
Do you guys mind?
Phil, we're going as fast as we can. Let me have that. Now you take this. This is, by the way, Bud, this is the shopping list.
You guys, shopping list? I'm on the air.
What an ass.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah. Don, are you there?
I've been here, yeah.
Don Berman joining us from Channel 19 News. I apologize for that. I mean, guys, I'm on the air. I don't need you passing a shopping list.
Bud is going to be going to the store for me.
I'm sorry, Ms. Gray. This is Don Berman.
Yes.
You said Bud. Who?
No, I said Bud. Bud.
I know who Bud Dickman is, but I heard her say Bud is going to the store. And I thought maybe I would point that out to Mr. Hendry, because you're always talking, Mr. Hendry, but... your need for professionalism. You have a sidekick there who is a newspaper writer. I'm a broadcaster. I wasn't asked to come on your program.
Well, if this is what it's going to be about...
No, it's not about that. Margaret, I don't begrudge you anything. I don't begrudge you anything. I give you everything. But I would say that when you said there's, you know, a butt...
Okay, let me be the guy that...
All right, that's what I... You know, you do it.
Let me be the guy... that complains about that.
I think it's about as petty as it gets.
Well, all right, you know, that's your opinion.
All right, Don, can we, you know, talk about petty? Who cares? If you said butt, you said bud.
I did not say butt. I said bud. I said bud.
I heard butt.
Yeah, to be honest with you, Margaret, I did hear butt. You said butt.
What are you thinking about?
That would be my.
Will you forget it, man? She misspoke.
Thank you, Phil.
God. Don Berman from Channel 19 News. This will be about the third introduction of Don right now, and we're talking to him tonight about what looks to be I think it's very interesting, and I certainly, at this particular juncture, I'm not exactly sure what to make of any of this. Rachel Ray, who is a beloved television personality, I had the story right in front of me. Rachel Ray is being sued by a young person who said that she helped him with a diet. Is that it, Don?
That is it in part, Phil. And the reason why I decided to bring this on Don Berman at 6, which is generally... Don Berman at 6 is... Where are my glasses, please? Yeah, my glasses. Don Berman at 6 is generally where we like to do a lot of our public interest stories. And I wanted to bring this on Don Berman at 6 because, as you very rightly pointed out, Phil, I did battle... a weight problem for quite some time. And for most of the people who have been in my... Hold on, how you doing? I've got...
L. Ron Martin is here.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm very good, sir. How are you?
Good. I know you're on the air, my buddy. Mr. Henry?
Yes, sir.
Hi. Hey, listen, Don's doing a great job, and we love everything that he does, and we love everything what you do. And I'm sorry to interrupt. I got some people in my office, but you're doing a great job. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
I'm going to get one more coffee here, and then I'm going to...
Is his name really L. Ron Martin?
Your name is L. Ron. I prefer it,
yeah.
All right.
I suspect it's probably something like Martino, but I don't want to say.
What's that?
I said, all right, good to see you, Ron.
Hey, great job.
I suspect his last name.
Are you thinking because it's Italian?
Oh, will you please?
Margaret, don't go, he's Italian. Would you want to keep it down?
You're the one that's always telling me don't whisper because we're on the radio because people can turn it up.
Burned. It's true.
All right, I got burned. Great.
May I get into what it is that I want to get into here? Because, yes, I think it's Italian, Margaret. I'm sorry that I don't mean to infer anything.
Well, I mean...
Oh, all right. Well, I am...
You're inferring that the man is organized crime.
No, let's watch that. I don't need to get sued.
Exactly.
Okay?
Well, he already made the inference.
It's inference, and...
No, it's inference. Sorry.
I'm really starting to lose it here.
I don't blame you, Phil. I want to do this report on Rachel Ray, and one of the reasons why I want to do the report on Rachel Ray, as I said to you, we're going to be doing it on Don Berman at 6. Now, we do a news report at 4, 5, 6, 7, and then we start again at 10, 11, 11:30, and 12. We're very, very specific with our news at Channel 19. The reason why we start at 4 is obviously we want to get a jump on all the other stations. But we also do an 11:30. That means if you're not airing the Conan O'Brien show, for instance.
Don, I don't think we need to hear this. No one cares, you know?
Oh, my God.
Margaret, would you let him... If anybody interrupted you the way you're interrupting him, they'd come unglued.
I'm sorry. I simply wanted to point out the obvious.
You know what? I know... I'm not telling you about the news...
Go ahead, Don.
We do at 11 o'clock. For those people that are not used to Conan O'Brien or any...
Hey, I'm very, very sorry, you know? I gotta get one here. I just need to get one more. Is that right, Don? Hey, Don.
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Yes, L. Ron. It's... Call me Ron.
Ah, yeah, there you go. Hey, Joey? Joey! Take this. I'm through one more. I'm so sorry. Don't get nervous. Hey, take that over to Rachel. I got one here for Dolores. I said I got one for Dolores. You want to put that down? Come over here. Hey, I'm very, very sorry, guys. Hey, Mr. Henry?
Yes, sir.
I'm very, very sorry. I got some people in my office. Hey, good job. Good job. Hey, Joey. Come get the coffee, okay? I'm keeping this guy. The gentleman here is on the radio. He's on the radio. He's on the radio. Take the coffee. Get out of here. Before I take a baseball bat to you. I'm so very sorry. Very sorry.
That's quite all right, sir.
Yeah.
Don, I feel for you, man.
Well, I just don't know. It's fine. I don't want the impression being given to your listeners that I'm some kind of a... You know, look, if you think I'm someone's punk here, forget it. I'm Don Berman. I am an Emmy Award winner. So don't think I'm anybody's
B-I-T-C-H.
I know how to spell it, thank God.
I don't think he needed that to be articulated, bud.
In any event, Phil, may I finish?
Go ahead.
I'm Don Berman, and Don Berman at 6.
That's where you do all the personal reports.
All right. Here's what we're going to do, okay? We're going to come back from our news break, Don. You're going to be able to give this report, and you'll be able to get... Is that the guy?
Hey, very, very sorry. Hey. Joey, the guy's on the radio. How you get the one for Dolores? He forgot to get the one for Dolores. You know, I'm very, very sad. Let me see something, Don, okay? I think you do a great job. Everybody loves you. I had a couple of complaints. You know what I said to the guy? Hey, Don.
Yes, sir.
You know what I said to the guy? I said to the guy, hey, complain about Don Berman, huh? You know, how'd you like me to throw you out that window right there? See the window here? I'm going to take you, I'm going to drop your head first out of the wing. Want that? As they said that. Guy coming to my office, right? I said, don't talk to Don Berman. You talk to Don. You talk about Don Berman to me. I'm going to drop you out this window here on your head. Huh? So, I'm very, very sorry, Don. You do a great job. Nobody messes with Don Berman in my book, huh? Hey, Joey, get the coffee, okay?
Okay, Mr. Martin?
Well, I'm saying it. He can't hear you, Bill. I'm holding the phone. Yes, sir.
Mr. Martin, I was wondering, sir...
No, it's all right. Well, thank you, Mr. Martin. Thank you. Don't say anything to him. Please, God, don't do it, Bill.
I'm just trying to ask the guy if he can hold off the coffee.
No, you don't ever do that to L. Ron Martin. Never.
All right, we'll be right back with Don Berman and the Rachel Ray lawsuit as soon as we get all the coffee poured there at Channel 19. All the espressos, all the lattes, all the...
Whatever, I don't know. What do they drink? What do they... Don.
Phil.
What do your Italian friends drink, Don? Don.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Here's what I was reluctant to get into. It's a pet peeve of mine, and it has been forevermore, and it will be. This explosion of a fertilizer plant, there have been no confirmed fatalities at all. 100 people, up to 100 people injured, but there has been absolutely no confirmation of any deaths. That doesn't mean that there won't be. That doesn't mean that they won't have any fatalities, but they have none confirmed yet. And yet, you know, in this rush to be the first to report something that may have happened or may not have happened, they've already got, well, there could be as many as 70, you know. So now what we're doing is we're not just saying what the facts are. Now what we're doing is, well, what the facts could possibly be, as many as 70. So what happens when it turns out to be nobody? I don't know. Don Berman is a newsman. Margaret Gray is also in the news business. We got Don here from Channel 19 News as we talk about a different story, actually. And this is a lawsuit of Rachel Ray by an overweight teen. And, Don, you were particularly interested in this because of the fact that you were overweight yourself.
Exactly, Phil. And that's why we did this on the Channel 9, on the Channel 19 News at 6. The Rachel Ray Show has been allegedly slapped with a lawsuit from an overweight teen who says her participation in a weight loss episode supposedly left her humiliated and hurt. TMZ reported Tuesday that Christina Pagliarolo, and here is a, you know, I hate to do it. Uh-oh, here comes Martin. Hold on. And we're talking about an Italian kid, so anyway, we're going to... Hey, how you doing, Ron?
Hey, real good, real good. I heard you talk about Pagliarolo, huh?
Yeah.
I had a cousin named Pagliarolo.
Oh, yeah. We're talking with Phil Henry on the air.
Oh, my apologies. Just get a coffee. Just get one more. Just one more.
Hey, Joey, come on, get this, will you?
What are you doing standing over there, huh? Come over, get it. I'm so sorry. So sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Pagliarolo, it's this kid. Now, what does that tell you? The child is of Italian descent. God bless our great Italian-Americans. They have done so many wonderful things for us. The Italian-American people themselves have been great people, Mr. Martin.
Yeah, Italian-American, yeah. I mean, I'm Italian.
Oh, yes, sir.
All right, here we go. All right, last one. Then I promise I'm out of your hair. Hey, Joey, come on, will you? Standing around here, man, what'd I pay you for? Go downstairs, why don't you go get a lollipop or something? Give me some cigarettes, man. And I'm all done.
So anyway, Pagliarolo, being an Italian kid, you know the kid probably was large because of the food, you know, that they eat.
You mean Italians eat a lot of high carbohydrate stuff, so the kid's bound to be fat?
Well, I mean, give me a break. The kid was fat. Now she goes on the show and says she's humiliated because Rachel Ray enlisted the aid of a fitness trainer. And in the lawsuit, she claims that the kid, this Pagliarolo kid, who you can well imagine, a kid by the name of Pagliarolo is probably already a pretty good-sized kid, pretty big in every area. And if your name's Pagliarolo, you see what I mean, Pagliarolo?
But, you know, this is going to be a shock to you, man, but there's a lot of Italians that are not fat.
No, I know that. But they're adults, so they've learned how to control the food intake at the very first part of an Italian's life. And I don't mean to, I'm not, ladies and gentlemen, please understand, I'm not stereotyping, please. I have been too long in the news business to know better. I'm just pointing out cultural differences. Cultural differences.
Yeah, I think I understand what Don's saying.
Thank you, Margaret. In an Italian, the way Italians eat is early on, they're going to be big. They're going to be pretty big. Then the Italian starts to learn how to eat right. And then you see a lot of slender Italians. I'll give you an example of that. Have you ever heard of, what's the one, Marissa Tomei? There's a lot of them.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of very beautiful and well-built Italians. Who was the... Richard Gere is from my generation.
Richard Gere?
Yeah, Richard Gere is a great... Is he Italian? I don't know.
Yeah, I believe he is Italian. Gere, Gilde, something.
No, Gere, that's not Italian at all. Is it French?
I said it's Italian. It's Italian.
Yeah, all right. So what this brought me to mind, when we did the Don Berman report on overweight, on my weight problem, I actually had a young man by the name of Danny Cullen, and Danny is with me here and in the newsroom. And Danny was a young person that was going to do the weight training with me as well. And we put him through very similar exercises that this kid was put through on the Rachel Ray Show. And to Danny's credit, and that's why I wanted to bring you on here, Danny, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
And Danny, how old are you now?
I'm 17 right now.
And Danny, you still have a weight problem, right?
That's correct, yeah.
How much do you weigh?
All right, I weigh 271 pounds.
271 pounds, so you're pretty big.
Yeah.
But you were out training with me, weren't you?
Yes, I was out. We were running and I did often.
Now, Danny, on one particular day, and you never complained once, this is giving an example, Phil, of what Danny put up with, as opposed to this Pagliarulo kid, who has the gall to sue, even though she's Italian, and has not yet learned how to eat properly. Not that I, you know, would say...
Well, you don't know whether Italian... What do you mean she's Italian and hasn't learned how to eat properly?
Well, he's making an educated guess, Phil.
Yeah, you never get an Italian. They're probably going to eat different.
Well, that's my point. You don't know. You're right, Phil. I don't know whether the Italian eats differently from the rest of us or not. But I got dollars to donuts, if you'll pardon the pun. Dollars to donuts tell you that any Italian in the early stages of life is going to... They're going to shovel it back. I mean, Danny, what's your last name?
My name's Danny Cone.
It's Danny Cone?
Cone.
I thought it was Cullen.
Yes, it is. Cone.
All right, I don't understand that.
Yeah, his name's Cullen.
All right. Danny, do you remember any of the training that you and I went through? And by the way, I know Danny's overweight now, but how much weight did you lose when we were training?
I lost about 4 pounds or 5 pounds in the very first week. And it was pretty good, too, because I didn't think I'd lose any.
You lost 4 pounds in the first week. And now, how come you didn't lose more?
Because you guys stopped.
We did stop, Phil, because hockey season started. We were preempted for hockey, otherwise we would have continued. Why didn't you continue with the training?
I don't know.
You were lazy.
Huh?
Say it, Danny. Come on, say it. You were lazy and fat. Fat and lazy, weren't you?
Yes, sir.
You see how Danny can take it? This is why I love this kid, and this is why our country, Phil, I agree with you. We've got a great future. This kid can take it. He's not a tub of, she's a little girl, and I don't want to make fun of the Pagliarulo child, but if that was a child of mine, I would get her out and sweat her. I mean, I would tell you right now, I would sweat her down, and I'd say, you see this? If this is what your mother makes for you at night, I don't know what this is called, the beans and all of that stuff.
What are you talking about?
I'd have a bowl of something that her mother makes for her.
You're like an Italian food.
Well, what about lasagna?
Yeah, okay, there. There, see this? Take care of this. This is lasagna. Do you want some? And she'd probably say, what would she say, Danny?
Yes, I'd say, yeah, I do want.
Yeah. Well, guess what? You don't get any until you run and run and run. And, man, I want to see you soaked with sweat. Just soaked. And one of the things, Danny, I did with you is what?
I was running you with, you have a peanut butter sandwich.
Right. I had peanut butter sandwiches, and I ate them. And what I did, Phil, is I leaned up, and I know what you're saying and what you're thinking. You think that this is cruel.
But before we go any further, what were you doing to lose weight?
I was training right alongside of him. Is that right, Danny?
Yes, sir. You were there, but sometimes you got tired and would get in the car.
I would get tired. The reason why I get in the car is I had to do the news. Danny could go home and lay down flat on his back because of his size. His father had mounted a television set in the ceiling. Right?
Yes, sir.
Why a television set? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Why a television? So the young man could lay on his back and would not have to go through the effort of getting up and looking. I don't want to spell it out.
Okay. So, Danny, you were that big?
Yeah, he's out here. Here, take the phone.
Hello?
You were that big, son?
Yes, sir.
You were so big that you had a TV set on the ceiling.
Yes, sir, yeah. And Mr. Berman took me out and ran me
and Rami and Rami.
Now, what is this with the peanut butter sandwiches?
All right, let me have the phone. The peanut butter sandwiches, I don't want him. Danny, do you know the story?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I ate peanut butter because I needed to get... But I would lean out the back window, and I'd go, Danny, how you doing? And I'd go, mmm. And so what I did was I showed him, you see this? This is what you're going to get to have if you get some of that fat off your you-know-what. And then I'd sit back, and I'd have another peanut butter. What else did I have?
Oh, yeah, deviled ham.
Deviled ham.
Egg salad.
Egg salad. And what else?
You know what? Cake.
Got cakes and pies.
When did you lose any weight?
I beg your pardon?
When were you losing the weight? You say you were training with him. You're sitting there eating cakes, pies.
Excuse me? What, are you talking to me like that?
When were you involved in the training? I mean, the young man said that the training was taking place. That right now, is he there?
Oh, he can't hear you. I have the phone. I control the flow of information. And I'm glad that I do, because you're getting, you know...
Well, what does Mr. Henry want?
Don't worry, kid.
Wow.
This kid is like...
Let me talk to him.
Here you go.
Yes, sir?
When did Mr. Berman get out and exercise with you?
Well, he did the first couple of days, and then he said he got tired. And,
I tell him how much weight I have.
He lost a couple of pounds.
Yeah.
Well, did you see him get on a scale?
Well, that's what I said.
No, well, that's what I said. Give me the phone.
No, I won't do it.
Give me the phone.
No, I won't.
Give me the... No!
See, I'm pretty big, Mr. Henry. I can keep Mr. Berman at bay.
Come on.
Tell Don that I'm asking him to let you have the phone.
Mr. Henry wants me to have the phone.
What?
Mr. Henry wants me to have the phone. So Mr. Berman, and another time he tied me with a rope and then drove the car around the track with me on the back.
So in other words, he did nothing but sit in the back seat of this car eating deviled ham.
Yeah, he had deviled ham. He had sponge cake, angel food cake.
Will you come on? You're making it sound like all I did was sit on my ass and eat.
Pretty much what you did, Mr. Berman. He had sponge cake.
I had one day we had sponge cake.
Excuse me, Mr. Berman, I'm talking. He had sponge cake. He had devil food cake. Another day he had when they still made plenty.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing, son?
Hi, sir.
Wow, look at the size of this kid, huh? Hey, Don, is this kid yours? I'm just kidding, kid. What's your name?
My name's Danny Cohen.
Hey, how you doing? L. Ron Mott.
Yes, sir. He has sponge cake. He had what's a 20 by size 20?
I can't understand you.
Hostess cupcake.
What?
A Hostess cupcake.
Hey, what are you doing, huh?
Can't hear anybody with the coffee.
All right, let's take a break, okay?
And he may be wrong.
All right, hold on. Let's take a break. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Talking with Don Berman, Danny Cullen, a young man that he helped lose weight, 4 pounds. It's all about this Rachel Ray lawsuit where there's a teenage kid that's suing her. Don Berman brought on Danny to say, look, see, this kid didn't sue me, and whatever. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth
well,
is our
mean,
bitch.
Whatever?
It's the Phil Henry Show.
It's a story. In my honest opinion. Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Don Berman. Danny Cullen is with us, Margaret Gray, Robert Leonard, Bud Dickman, and myself as we talk here about the lawsuit. Don, continue with the lawsuit against Rachel Ray.
Well, the lawsuit against Rachel Ray as filed by this teenager by the name of Pagliarolo. And again, Phil, I'm not trying to stereotype, but we have to, we simply must point out the fact that this child, this Christine, Betty, I don't know what her name is.
Well, her first name is Christina. You can't get that right.
Am I talking to Mr. Henry? Am I talking to you? I'm sorry, I don't...
Talking to me.
I just...
Am I talking to Mr. Henry or you?
You're talking to Phil.
All right, then let me talk to Phil. I don't... Since when has she taken over your show?
Hey, Don, let me control the flow of the conversation.
I don't like... getting on, and all of a sudden I'm hearing, I'm expecting the normal voice of a man to direct and to query and to issue the questions. I'm not expecting, because it's shocking. It jars my nervous system.
I can understand where it'd be jarring.
Well, you know something? I think there's something wrong with you mentally.
Oh, you know, we're talking about lawsuits here, Ms. Gray.
Well, you know, I think I might have a couple myself.
All right, I'm going to separate the two. I'm going to throw somebody out of here, and I guess it's going to be you, Margaret, because Dawn's on a phone.
You can take... Oh, excuse me. You can take the phone into another room if you want.
Yes, that would be...
Okay.
And that way we're separated.
You still...
What's the matter?
I can't explain the obvious to people that are so dense they don't get it.
You can't possibly be talking about me.
Well, I said, I realize she's still going to be on the air with me. I'm just saying physically we wouldn't have to be around each other.
If you're on a telephone right now, you're not around her.
Is the phone in the same room?
Yes.
Then psychically.
What a retard. I'm telling you.
I told you guys I don't like that word.
Yes, exactly. Now, Phil, you know, before this goes to hell in a handcart, how you doing? You're good. You having a problem? No, everything's fine.
I want to talk to this man. Mr. Martin.
He can't hear you, and I'm not going to give him the phone to listen to you.
Mr. Martin.
Yeah, hello. Oh, God.
Yes, Mr. Martin, my name is Margaret Gray. I'm friends with Frank Gray, the attorney.
Hey, I know Frank. How's it going?
It's going good. That's an espresso machine, huh?
Yeah, it's an espresso machine. Hey, tell Frank I said hello.
Yeah, okay.
What the hell was that about?
I just wanted to say hello. I wanted to remind him that I'm here.
Okay, that's fine. That's great. We got that out of our system now.
Well, do you know him?
No, I don't.
I know him.
Yeah, but he doesn't care. You're barely in the room. He cares about me.
So what are you going to do with that, now that you've established that he knows you're here and,
I don't know, but I'll just, you know, a wink and a nudge.
Yeah, I'll bet it's a wink and a nudge.
You are a vile man.
All right, we're almost out of time. Are you happy?
Phil, let me just finish here, okay? What happened to Danny? Danny, come on over here, okay, son? I don't want to do it anymore. Danny Cullen, the young man that I helped lose weight. I don't want to do it. Danny, come on. He's moved over to the other side of the room. What's wrong?
I don't want to do that anymore. The adults are arguing. That's why I put the weight on in the first place.
He says the adults are arguing. No, the adults are not arguing. We're not arguing, Danny.
Who's arguing with the lady?
Danny, dear, this is Margaret. I have a son about your age.
My mom, she's just like you. She's always doing... I hate it.
Danny, we didn't mean to upset you.
Let me talk to him. Danny, don't speak to your elders that way. I have a son your age. And if my son, and he often has spoken to me like that, and I know how to turn the ring around on my ring hand.
That's my mom does that too. You do a backhand?
Yes, I do a backhand.
Oh, I see.
Well, you're traumatizing the kid. Is that what you're trying to do?
I'm trying to remind him of who the adult is here.
Look, I just want to say one thing, Danny. I'm sorry that we frightened you. You did lose 4 pounds. Is this fat? Is this kid fat or what?
Oh, the Italian kid?
No. Oh. All right, well, I tried to make my point. I think that what was unfair about tonight is that L. Ron Martin was coming over with his coffee, Margaret Gray was butting in, I never did get my point out about Italians, and Danny did lose weight, and then we had to preempt for the hockey season. Now, his mother and father are the reason why he put the weight on, and are your parents still arguing?
No, they argue, but not as much anymore.
They don't argue, then why are you still fat?
Because I got to like taste of cookie. I like cookies and cakes.
You got to like the taste of cookie. See, I worked with this kid for 6 months, Phil.
No, you didn't. You said you stopped. He lost 4 pounds the first week, and then you stopped when hockey season started.
That's not wrong.
Yes, that's true. I stopped when I tried to work with you, didn't I?
Well, yeah, you said you brought over a little Debbie cake.
Oh, get out of here.
Yes, you did, sir.
What did he say?
I brought over some Little Debbie cakes. I had an inn at the Little Debbie plant. So I brought over Little Debbie cakes. Okay, so what?
The sister.
You are a...
Well, this is interesting. So what was the story?
You know what? Thank you very much. I think that this has been incredibly, incredibly unfair, Mr. Henry.
So you went over to this kid's house because you were interested in his older sister... And you brought Debbie cakes.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, all right. So I think we got the full story on that. So in other words, this guy, Berman, didn't help anybody lose any weight. What he did is he helped the kid lose 4 pounds, And then the hockey season preempted the rest of the report, but he kept on going to the kid's house because his older sister was hot, and he was
I don't think it's funny at all.
Well, it's just, you gotta laugh at it.
Are you kidding? He went over and did what?
Brought over little Debbie Kate.
Brought over little Debbie Kate to get the sister fat?
I don't know, because he was courting the kid's older sister. Bringing over little Debbie cakes, and this kid probably got his face into a few of them.
Oh, my. I think that is tragic. I don't know what you find funny about that at all, Phil.
Oh, were you kidding me? Come on. I mean, Berman, you know, I don't know.
The boy gained weight because the adults were arguing.
Yeah, but he said his parents started getting along better, and then he just started eating because he liked the taste of little Debbie cakes.
Yeah, he said Debbie cake and a sponge cake, too.
You didn't say sponge cake, man. He said cake and cookie.
Yeah, he said cake and cookie like he's got part of his brain missing. I don't know what that was. So,
go on, mate. What? Yeah, it's that kid Danny Cullen. What? Yeah? Here.
Hey, Danny?
Listen, I just want to say thank you very much. I like the Devil Debbie cake that Mr. Berman brought over, but he also brought over the cookie and cake. Or cookie and cream.
Ice cream?
Yeah, cookie and cream ice cream. Get off the phone, for God's sake. You've ruined my career.
All right, we'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhenryshow.com. We got more news to review for you tonight, a lot of strange things. We also have this Mississippi mall, this male suspect in Mississippi has been busted for mailing ricin. That's right.
Phil Henry.
Talk about that. Famous Phil Henry Show. We're here at the El Pacifico, where the weather is getting. I don't want to rub it. I don't think I'm rubbing it in, but I mean the weather's been sweet, huh, bud?
Yeah, went out today, man. It looked sweet.
Yes, it did. And there was beautiful surf out there. The Pacific Coast. This particular time of year, of course, the water is not warming up just yet, but the Santa Ana winds kick in, so we start to get some warmer air temperatures, and there's still kind of wintry surf conditions, so you see a lot of people out there trying to take advantage of that. But the air was clear, it was really gorgeous, and like I say, you know, we haven't had a lot of rain, you know.
Well, you worry about the fires, and Dave Cullen, that was the little fat boy. Who was the one, bud?
Dave Del Wagon.
Dave Del Wagon, a young man, do you remember him?
Yeah, Dave Del Wagon worked on the show before you did, bud.
Yeah, well, Dave lives in the Malibu Canyon now and has a, what is it, bud?
Like a cabin. He has a cabin there with Toby Bo.
Yeah, they have a cabin up there, and I spoke with Dave and Jeff Dowder earlier today via the telephone, and I thought you would be interested in the conversation we had. And I asked them, I said, well, what do you think you'll do, Woo? Okay, is this the tape? Hold on. I said, what do you think you'll do if the fires increase, or if there are fires this coming summer? And here's part of that conversation. So you are, Dave and Jeff, you share a home there, don't you?
Yeah, we share, Toby and I, and Dave, you want to talk?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dave's been up here, his parents had it.
What I do?
What's that?
When I did it.
Yeah, Dave's parents had a home up here, and that's where we're living right now.
What is the home, Jeff?
It's like a caretaker's cottage, right, Dave?
Yeah. Bannon.
Yeah, he's, as you know, he has a learning disability that he's had ever since he rolled a Jeep over here at, you remember where he rolled a Jeep in Decker, right, Dave?
That's not a learning disability, that's...
Well, yeah, it is. It's an injury, but I mean, it is a learning disability, though, right, Dave? It's a learning disability because it's tough for him to learn, but it did come about from a Jeep getting rolled on him, on top of him.
Oh, my God, so, but he's fine.
Yeah, you're fine, Dave, right?
Okay.
Yeah, he's okay.
Now, let me ask you, if the fires are coming up the canyon.
Yeah, well, the wind gets whipped up the canyon in the summertime, Ms. Gray, and if for whatever reason there is a threat of fire Dave's dad, I called up Dave's dad, Bernie Del Wagon, who's a grocer supply guy in Malibu, and I asked him, and he said at that time that the best thing to do would go ahead and set fire to the house and burn it down.
Why would he do that?
Because they would rather have, they'd rather burn their own home down than have a fire whip up the canyon and do it. Because if the fire comes whipping up the canyon and you stand there in a hopeless, you know, you're hopeless as the LA Times is taking pictures of you looking like, for all the world, like the biggest, right, Dave?
Yeah, game.
You're looking for all the world like just some hopeless turd, I mean, you know, standing there with a garden hose. And so Dave's dad, Mr. Del Wagon, said, "Jeff, you know, it's going to be your call." And I said, "Well, how about if I just go ahead and burn it?" And he said, "Yeah, pull it." By the way, he used the words too.
Now, pull it. That's what was said at 9/11.
Yeah. See, so it does also point to 9/11 too.
That is very interesting. Well, I thank you for. So you're going to burn the home down before any fire can.
That's kind of what we're going to do. Well, but you'll know. I'll go pull it.
Yes. So that was the interview today with Dave Del Wagon. He wasn't that bad, was he?
No, Dave was. He was bad, but he wasn't like that.
What was wrong with him?
He rolled a Jeep. I told you. You guys.
Why do you hire people like that?
I don't know. Everybody that I've ever hired, every intern that I've ever hired from this area, either has rolled a Jeep, has put a motorcycle through a tree. All of you guys are madmen. But Dave wasn't that bad. Dave knew how to talk. Sounds to me like he can't even talk.
Yeah, he's got a learning disability.
Yeah, got a learning disability, man. He rolled a Jeep.
Well,
it's not a learning disability. He rolled a freaking Jeep on himself. That's what happened to him. So these guys are going to burn the house down, huh?
That's what they say, and they're going to... And this whole thing about pull it, what do you think?
What do I think about what?
Well, there is that 9/11 connection.
Yeah, when they said pull it.
Let me ask you a question before we go any further. What does Jeff Dowder, in the year 2013, ready to burn someone's house down, saying the words pull it, what has that got to do with 2001 in New York, with a building falling down?
I'm saying, Phil, the terminology is similar. Is there a connection?
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah, bud? You're sitting there just...
Yeah, just I'm wondering.
There is no connection. How can there be a connection?
You don't have to yell. Why is everything with you at the top of your lungs?
I can't believe some of the conversation. There's no connection. Pull it here now.
I'll tell you about pull it, man. Somebody's pulling all right.
Yeah, you're pulling it.
Hey! There is no connection. It's Jeff Dowder being a big shot saying, pull it, because he heard some guy say it at 9/11.
Well, anyway, I'm going to keep my eye on that because I think it's a very fascinating story. And we will be following this throughout the summer, Phil, as the three of these men, Toby Bowe, who you did not hear, Dave Del Wagon and Jeff Dowder, living there in Decker Canyon near the Malibu Canyon areas where the wind whips up the canyon. And now you know where the great songs that were given to us by the great songwriters, Lorenzo Hart and Morgan I forget his name, he was another man. You remember the song, Where the Wind Whips Up the Canyon? You know that song?
No, I don't.
Oh, yeah, I think I know him as great.
I'm not asking you, bud, because you're making... No, you don't. You don't remember that song.
No, I don't.
Because it ties in beautifully... Phil, come on.
No, I don't. What song, Wind Whips Up the Canyon?
Now, wait a minute. I think I know. You're talking about,
You don't know. You're sure talking about the song.
I know it more than you. And you're talking about a battle wagon.
Battle wagon. That was it. Yeah. And in that play...
But you mean paint your wagon?
Well, what was battle wagon?
The war wagon.
War wagon, yeah.
War wagon was a war movie with John Wayne. Battle wagon I've never heard of. And paint your wagon I have.
Well, don't... Is that crude? Because you gave me a look.
Is what crude?
Talk about paint your wagon. When you said paint your wagon, you're all like, hey, look at...
I didn't check anybody. You know what? I'm going to throw all of you people out of here if I hear that one more time.
I'm sorry, Phil.
I've been looking you up and down. Hey, paint your wagon?
It looks and sounds... By the way, one other thing. Louis Anderson, is he now officially a large storage unit? Or is he still a man?
That's very, very unkind.
Oh, well, excuse me. He's standing there with that beautiful Catherine Webb with his arm around her. And
never mind about Louis Anderson right now. We're talking about whether or not this fire is going to take place. Now, what is this about Wind Whips Up the Canyon?
That's about the song.
The wind whips up the canyon. You don't remember that? They used it for a toilet paper commercial.
I don't know what she's talking about.
Diane, you're looking at the wrong guy to talk about me.
Well, get my husband on the phone then.
Don't direct people. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll talk about Catherine Webb, who has withdrawn from the ABC reality diving show Splash. It was her dream, to be a reality show star, and it will not be. Isn't that...
Who cares?
Don't be cruel. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Louis Anderson is who I got my eye on.
The Phil Hendry Show.
How dare you say something? Louis, darling, is there a man left or is that all just muffin?
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and that's the name of our big one-man show, our live show. Truth is our bitch, coming this summer, along with so many other things that I can barely contain myself with the glee and the joy. What am I listening to here? That sounds like a laboratory.
Yes, where's that?
Downstairs.
Turn that off, will you, man? Is that downstairs?
Yeah, it's a bar.
The bar downstairs, it just never... We have Frank Gray who's joining us, and the whole reason why Frank is on the air here is why.
Frank will back me up on the story that I told you having to do with the burning down of... Now I forget. I don't know why we have him on.
Look, we got to stop doing this. Frank, you there? Frank.
Hey, Phil, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, man?
Better than Custer. How are you, young man?
Good, good. Margaret wants to talk to you.
Yeah, that's what I figured. What's up?
Well, Frank, I called you for a reason I forgot.
No, I got to tell you, and he told me this already, Phil. I got to tell you people, you always call up people that, and you don't know why you want to talk to them. This is not the first time that he's called and said, oh, Frank, you really got to get it together.
I don't know what it was. I will tell you what we were talking about, the fires in Malibu Canyon. And the fact that there are three guys in a house there who are going to burn the house down ahead of the fires because they don't want to stand there looking like asses with a garden hose trying to save a house. They might as well just burn it themselves and look like they're in control.
Sure, sure. That sounds. I would do the same thing. And I can tell you, we have a beautiful home here in Santa Monica. We're far away from any fire area. I talked to the fire marshal as recently as last month. She came out. She's a former paratrooper with the Army, and she'd been in Iraq and Afghanistan and sustained. And then she came home and married her college sweetheart. And he had two babies right away. As soon as she came back, you know, she wanted to be a father. And so he gave her two babies. Her name is... I think her name is Bob Jandel. I know that...
Okay, that's fine. I mean, I wanted to move on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This was the fireman that you met who was in Iraq?
Yeah, she'd been in Iraq, and then she got married when she came back. And her wife, I forget his name. Oh, his name is Grace. Grace had two babies, so they didn't waste any time. I'll tell you that right now. It's almost like, you think there's going to be a baby boom? I think there's going to be a baby boom with all of the... things that are...
Well, there's not that many, relatively speaking, not that many people in the service, so there's not that much... there hasn't been that many people separated by war, although we've had we've been holding steady, I think, population-wise, haven't we? So, in fact, this last generation... I don't know, to answer your question.
Yeah, well, that's the smartest thing you've said, because I listened to you trying to bail that whole thing out. No,
Well, I'm sorry. You asked me a question I don't have any expertise on.
Well, I think that there will be a baby boom, but what has that got to do with what we're talking about?
Well, I might as well talk about something because you brought me on to talk about something, and you didn't. You can't remember what one day to the next where you put your hairnet.
That's unfair, Frank.
No, it's not unfair, not at all. You can't remember from one day to the next where you put the Mother Goose shoe.
And that also is unnecessary.
What's the Mother Goose shoe?
Oh, the Mother Goose shoe. You didn't hear about Margaret's sister came out, and Margaret's sister had been in an automobile accident, and he's a beautiful, beautiful woman. I mean, have you met Margaret's sister?
Have you met Mary?
No, I have not.
Mary is his name, and he's a beautiful woman. But apparently he'd been in an accident. Well, Margaret, you tell the story.
My sister was in an automobile accident right out of high school. She has a slight sprain in the sacroiliac, which sometimes, literally, one of her legs is shorter than the other, generally the left leg, and it causes her some pain. So Frank calls it the Mother Goose shoe because we went out and got her just a straight orthopedic shoe that she can wear around the house to help straighten the hip out.
Well, to tell the truth, though, he wears this Mother Goose shoe.
Mother Goose.
I'm sorry, Mother Goose shoe.
What is a Mother Goose shoe?
You've never heard of Mother Goose?
Yes, I've heard of Mother Goose.
Well, did you see the shoe that he wore?
Well, Frank, Mother Goose didn't wear the shoe.
What do you mean, Mother Goose? Where's the shoe that Mother Goose wore?
Are you talking about the old lady in the shoe?
He's talking about the old-style lace-up shoe that the old ladies wore.
The old ladies of my generation. My grandmother, he wore Mother Goose until the cows came home. But he wore Mother Goose till the goose came home, you know.
Well, whatever, Frank.
Well, I'm telling the story, if you don't mind. So, my grandmother, he wore them. My mother, thank God, and I thank God every day that my mother didn't wear them, because if he'd worn them, I would have been traumatized, I think, seeing my mother wearing the Mother Goose.
I don't understand anything you guys are saying. I really don't.
Well, it's no wonder, Frank. You're scaring everyone.
What am I doing?
It's not so much that you're scaring. You're talking about the Mother Goose shoe. I think we're going on and on about it.
You're telling me you've never seen the Mother Goose shoe?
Yes, I've seen the Mother Goose shoe.
All right. And who wore it?
I remember my aunt wore them. And my aunt, when I was a very young kid, I mean, I was a little kid, my aunt was already in her 50s. And these shoes, folks, just so you know, at one time, they were stylish. They were almost like a wingtip for women, except they had these big heels on them. They were lace-up, and they became identified, by the time I was a kid, they became identified with old women because it was a fashion in the 20s and then in the turn of the century, and just nobody wears them anymore.
Well, you see a lot of the young girls sometimes affect similar to the Mother Goose. We've got an intern in the law office, and he's about 18, very beautiful girl, and he's always wearing a Mother Goose styling, you know.
Well, but they don't call it Mother Goose. They call it something else.
Well, what is that they call? Okay, they call it Father Goose.
Well, they probably call it. It's probably a completely different style, too.
No, it's the lace-up Mother Goose. In any event, can I finish the story that I was that they want to say?
Go ahead.
All right. So Margaret's sister, Mary, he comes out with the, and I found this Mother Goose shoe, and I said, well, will you look at the old Mother Goose? And that's when he came up to me, and he smacked me across the face with the left hand, then came across my face with the right hand, and in one of the most stunning moves.
Frank, this is not a boxing match.
Will you hold on and let me tell the story, for God loving? I swear, there was every angel in heaven.
All right, just calm down.
I'm telling the story of what your sister did to me. This guy, he came across my kisser with the right, then the left, and then right out of and I couldn't believe my eyes. I even said to Margaret, I said, did he just do a Three Stooges move on me? And what did you say, Margaret?
I said you deserved it.
I deserved it. And then he did a Three Stooges number, Phil. He used both hands across one another on both sides of my face and then did that whole thing with the hand where they... Remember Mo, she used to go nya-nya-nya-nya-nya with the hand?
You've got to be kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. And that was humiliating for me to follow the hand up and down and then smack. And so I said to Margaret, I said, I don't want him in the house. I know he's your sister, but I don't want him... Tell him and his Mother Goose shoe to hike it.
Go ahead, Frank.
I'm a little bit ashamed.
No, well, you're going to have to say it.
I said, tell him and his Mother Goose shoe to hike it down to the Super 8.
Well, did he? I mean, did she?
She, I mean, he, she, Who's she?
I don't know. Who would she be?
My son?
Yeah.
No, my son stayed here, but he, meaning my sister-in-law, I said, well, I'll give you a ride if you want, and nope. He was too proud, and I can still see him limping, you know, with the Mother Goose shoe off.
Don't you think that's cruel?
I can't believe you did that, Frank. You made that woman walk down to that Super 8.
I didn't kick him out. I said, you just humiliated me with a Mo Howard move with the whole and he's sitting there going, ha, 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 ha. And I said, why don't you take that Mother Goose shoe and park it? And that's when he said, I'm going down to the Super 8 even if I've got to thumb it. So the last I saw of him, I'm sorry.
Oh, starting to get emotional.
Yes. The last I saw of him, he had his thumb out on Lincoln, and he was thumbing down to the Super 8. And then he didn't get a ride, and he just kept walking, limping. I didn't say limping, but, you know, one leg shorter than the other, going to do it like that, you see. So,
well, I think that's about the cruelest story I've ever heard.
Oh, give me a break. I didn't throw anybody out.
Well, you might as well have, Frank.
Well, then why did he slap me the way he did? No woman slaps a man like that. And yet he slapped me.
Well, no man is supposed to slap a woman. No man's supposed to abuse a woman or mistreat a woman.
I didn't mistreat him. All I said to him, I said, if that's the way it's going to be, take your Mother Goose shoe, shove it, and it'll probably be uncomfortable with it up there, and I imagine you'll do one hell of a limp down Lincoln. And that's when he said to me, I'm going to thumb it. Thank you very much.
Did he get a ride?
I don't know. I saw a couple of trucks passing by.
Get out of here.
Wait a minute, Phil. You can't get tough with me.
We'll be right back, folks. Phil Henry Show.
Isn't that an amazing story, though?
I don't believe any of it.
What do you mean you don't believe? I saw it happen, Phil.
What, a Mother Goose shoe and everything?
Yes.
I saw that the story of the Mother Goose shoe. What do you think? I was going to send it into Reader's Digest, but I don't know.
Phil Henry.
Excuse me, no, it's not, and I wasn't doing that.
You're looking at the woman.
Anyway, welcome back, folks. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. What do you mean I'm looking at her?
You mentioned that this Rosemary Church... Well, do you want me to do it here?
Not really.
You'd start talking about a Rosemary Church.
I mentioned she was attractive.
Well, you're staring at the screen like this, Phil. Here, this is the face you're doing. Like there... I swear to God, I can't even do the face. You look like Dwight Frye in... Everyone makes fun of the Dwight Frye in Dracula.
We're talking about Dracula.
Are you talking about Dracula? Is that the French?
You talking about me? Yes.
Dwight Frye in Dracula and what?
When he was coming out of the bilge.
I don't know. I was staring up at her.
You did say that you think she's attractive.
Yeah, so what? So why do you got to point out the fact that I'm staring at her like I'm some guy right out of a loony bin or something? God.
Speaking of that, you want to talk about Ogle Paul Hatton?
Ogle Paul Hatton. No, that was Herb Sewell is going to join us here, folks, for Memories Are Made of This, which is a Herb Sewell column that he is writing. He is hoping for national syndication. Memories Are Made of This is his rundown of some of the interesting individuals that he met when he was at Atascadero, the state hospital, the state forensic hospital for... Quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, as they were once called, the criminally insane. And Herb Sewell is going to be joining us to talk about this forthcoming book.
Now, has it found a publisher?
I think it's found a publisher, a very small one.
That's self-published.
No, it's not self-published. I believe that it is a it has found a small publisher. And the title of the book is one that I think he's going to have a problem with, because Memories Are Made of This is a line from a love song.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and I don't know if the people who own the copyright to that song are going to like the line from their love song being used as the title to a book written by a former psychiatric hospital patient.
Why are you laughing?
Well, what do you think, man? Don't you think that's funny?
Phil, don't jump on me. I'm just asking you.
I think it's funny. Family awarded $90 million. Family of teen hit by car given $90 million. A family in Maryland is feeling a small sense of justice and relief, according to a report from the Associated Press on Wednesday, April 17th. The family was awarded $90 million by a Prince George County jury for the life of their 13-year-old daughter that they lost. Good God. Ashley Davis was 13 years old when she was struck by a car while trying to cross the street and get to her bus. Davis did not make it back from her injuries, and she ended up passing away. The family of Davis sued the Prince George's County Board of Education after the child's death. John Costello, the Davis family's attorney, put up arguments that it was an issue of safety not properly being in place. He said that the school system did not provide safe, adequate transportation for the students in the area. A six-member jury decided early in April on the wrongful death verdict. On Wednesday morning, the family was officially awarded $90 million in the case. Costello is sure that the school system will appeal the decision. $90 million, yeah.
Well, I agree. I think that they should have safe bus stops.
I do, too. When I was a kid, the bus stop, and the only time I took a bus was when I was very young, in kindergarten, and then on to, like, the kids, when I was a father, our kids did not have, they didn't go to the school, there's no bus, they were driven by, and I used to make jokes about it, they were, you know, it was a long line of SUVs every morning, just a big long line of these big SUVs dropping off these little kids. I used to say, you might as well be pulling up in a tank. I mean, nothing states more clearly the attitude of the modern day parent than these long lines of SUVs that were dropping kids off in the early part of the last decade. It looked like these big, huge vehicles, and then a little tiny kid would just boop, get out and, you know.
What do you think that they were too? The big cars were too big?
Well, I don't know. It was like a. No bike riding, not a lot of kids on the bus, although I'm sure there were, you know, in maybe the public school system. I don't know. This was a Catholic school.
Yeah, that the Catholics, they're rich.
No, they're not rich.
Well, I mean, it's a private school.
Phil, it's private.
I don't care if it's private. They're not rich. Let me tell you something about these Catholic schools. First of all, you're expected... if you're the principal of a Catholic school and you're the Monsignor of the parish, you're expected to have so many kids going to school there that are low income, that can't afford to be there. The diocese will help out, but you're expected as a parish to be self-sustaining and to have kids in your school that, you know, and I'm making a statement. I happen to know it's true because I went through the Catholic school system as a student and as a parent. And I know that there's a lot of kids that go to Catholic schools. Families could never afford the tuition. That's just the way it is. Does it make them fantastic people? I'm just telling you, that's been the history. Okay.
But there's also, didn't you tell me that you used to go to functions for the Catholic school where there was champagne and, you know.
No, I don't know. And don't start inferring anything.
I'm not.
There were a lot of parents that had money. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. And there were parents there. I remember one of the parents at our school was, I don't think I'm talking out of school. It was Mike Socia.
Talking out of school. About to be the right school.
Yeah, shut up, man.
You shut up.
Hey. Mike Socia, the manager of the Angels, was one of the parents at our school. And he was a hell of a guy because he would host a lot of things. He was always active in the school. He was always active with the teams. He was active, with the auctions, all that stuff, you know. So there was always something going on to raise money, you know.
And you're telling me the Catholic Church, with all of the money that they have, still expected these parishes like some pueblo, like one of those... Do you remember the Lilies of the Field? Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
In it... The black man, played by...
I remember this.
I'm not talking to you.
No, it was. I remember what it was, though, is Django Unchained.
Not Django Unchained, Lilies of the Field.
What's that?
It was an old movie. Never mind, what about it?
Well, in the movie, who was the black man?
Sidney Poitier.
Yes, Sidney Poitier. He, well, I... I forget.
I'll tell everybody since you started the story.
I forgot. He was a handyman that went into this very poor area of New Mexico, I think it was. And these nuns are trying to build a church, and he doesn't want any part of it. All he wants is to get himself maybe something to eat, and he wants directions. You know, he's on his way someplace, and these nuns basically just impose themselves on him and say, no, you have to stay. You have to build this church. You have to help us. You have to. And the guy is such a nice man that he can't help himself. He winds up staying and organizing all the townspeople.
Were they all Mexicans?
How dare you? What?
Bud, they were Mexican people living, Spanish people living in New Mexico, Americans of Mexican descent.
Well, any of that was illegal.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because if there was any illegal, well...
What's the point?
They had them working on a church.
Are you guys serious? This is a movie from the 60s. Nobody was counting, okay?
Well...
In any event, these people are building this church, and it's about Sidney Poitier. And the funniest part of the movie is how he's trying to make sense with these nuns that all speak German. He didn't speak any German. And he's black. They're white. And the whole thing is...
Yeah, and they're Germans, too.
Yeah, what about it? Oh, you think they're Nazis?
Well...
No, man, just because they're German don't mean they're Nazis.
This is Bud. Every German's a Nazi, is that it?
Bud, what did you think they were going to do?
Well, you don't know if they're Germans.
Yeah, that's right, Bud. They're the first German Nazi nuns. And they're, here comes a black guy. Better put him in the oven.
Well?
They can't even build a church. They got an oven on site? Yeah. You gotta be kidding me.
I don't think it's funny.
Oh, give me a break. They can't get a church built, but they now see a member of an inferior race. Get that oven cranked up, Sister Gertrude. Jeez.
Oh, Joy's saying you gotta just consider the possibilities.
Yeah, the possibilities, man. The possibilities. Not the outer space stuff, okay? So, sad news from the world of college football. Catherine Webb had to withdraw from the ABC reality diving show Splash. We'll give you a moment to compose yourselves, writes Frank Schwab. I know it's Schwab, but I thought I'd just butcher his name up, just because I'm that kind of a guy. Writes Frank Schwab for Yahoo Sports. Webb, the beauty pageant queen and Alabama quarterback A.J. McCarron's girlfriend. You remember seeing her at that, what was the game?
It was the Peach Bowl, wasn't it?
No, it was what bowl was it, Robert?
Peach Bowl.
It was a fruit.
Well, of course it's a fruit. It was a raspberry bowl or something.
No, man, no. It was the.
I thought it was the
banana.
They no banana bowl.
Why not?
Well, you don't put bananas in a bowl.
Well, no, wait a minute, okay? Nobody's making that kind of ridiculous distinction. You don't put bananas in a bowl. How about this? The Poulon Weed Eater Bowl. Do you put a gardening utensil in a bowl?
What?
What are you talking about?
Did she just say you don't put bananas in a bowl? Didn't I hear you say that?
Phil, how about using my name and not she and pointing at me like I'm something that just dropped out of a cat's...
Did Margaret just say banana bowl?
I don't know.
Yes, you just acknowledged that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's that got to do with gardening?
Never mind.
Oh, he's gonna...
No, just never mind. So anyway, A.J. McCarron's girlfriend had been on the show with various celebrities, but she said during Tuesday's episode that a practice dive had left her with a back injury, and she just decided, screw this, let Louis Anderson take over. Now, Louis Anderson, as you know, is a prominent comic. Louis is also, very heavy. I can show you his picture here on Phil TV if you happen to be around here. Or you can just imagine.
Well, Phil, I think it should be said.
No, I don't want you to say it, Margaret, because I thought it was very insensitive.
She said he... Well,
I think it's insensitive.
I said I will not be censored. Louis Anderson looks like he is a...
Yeah, you know how cruel that sounds.
She said a human lard container.
See, he did it.
Why did you say that?
In the interest of I got to be reporting.
Yeah, in the interest of reporting.
In the interest of reporting, Louis Anderson looks like a human lard container. That's great.
Oh, stop it, will you, Phil? It's Louis Anderson's fault.
Well, Louis is pretty big, man, but he is now next up on this dive challenge, and...
And you'll watch. You know you will, because when he hits the water, it's going to be worse than any fertilizer explosion.
You know something? They're interviewing a man right now that's got blood on his face, so let's not make any jokes.
I'm not.
But when Louis hits the water, it...
Well, yeah, I mean, they... Well, it...
Okay. In any event, Louis Anderson is next up. Webb was getting frustrated and crying as she struggled with her practice dive. She said she landed hard during one practice dive, and that's what caused the back injury.
Now, they know that Louis Anderson was not around it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Louis Anderson was not around it.
If he was taking any of his practice dives or jumps.
On top of her? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I don't know.
Webb is free to move forward with whatever project she's lined up. She usually has something in mind. Webb took time to thank her almost 267,000 Twitter followers for supporting her in her diving against folks like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and the actress who was on Charles in Charge back in the day. Oh, that's really nice of you. Why don't you give the woman's name? God.
The actress that was on Charles in Charge.
Who was that actress?
I don't know.
Thank you guys for the support. And off she went while Louis practiced his belly flops. All right.
That guy belly flopped or anything else.
I don't think it's funny. I think Louis, they're using you. And Louis, I know Louis from way back. Frank and I both. Louis, may I?
Go ahead.
Louis, if you're listening, this is Margaret Gray.
Margaret, you're not talking a guy out of a house and trying to get him back to prison, okay? You just talk normally.
I'm talking to my friend Louis.
Yeah, you're not on a bullhorn going, hey, you in the house.
How'd you like me to...
Hey, watch it.
Kick your ass.
Let's take a break, okay?
Yes, of course.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth Louis, is this our is Margaret. Bitch, I'll be Phil right Hendry back, Show. Louis. Louis, I'll be back. Don't do it.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to world famous Phil Hendry Show. If you go to the homepage, philhendryshow.com, I was attempting to show this on our... Phil TV monitor here, and I will. I've just had to move over a bit to access the computer. If you go to our homepage, you're going to see a picture of me there. And let me just go ahead and flip it over.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Is that you, Phil?
Yes, that's me. Come on. You don't know that that's me? Why is this? Why does it take so long? I'm really very pissed off at this. Why does it take so long to refresh this page?
Well, I said it looks that way to you.
No, bullcrap looks that way to me. I updated this photograph I don't know how many minutes ago, and it's still the old, this cache system that they've got for this website I'm not happy with. I don't give a damn who knows it, okay? I mean, it's just, you don't, one of the things you don't ever want to do, don't ever do this. Don't go to work as a subcontractor, as an employee, I wouldn't say an employee so much as a subcontractor or anybody that does any kind of work for a radio personality who has a big fat mouth, because your stuff is going to be out on the radio the next day, man. It doesn't matter who. If you say, oh, wow, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to be working for Phil Hendry, I got a big fat mouth, man. Every time I can remember when I went to war against Sears, I went to war against Sears all the way to Chicago, all the way on up the chain of command. I got to the office of the president. I was so pissed off.
Well, what happened?
We bought a washer dryer at two. On two washer dryers, the hoses blew out on these. The water pressure just blew the hoses out on these. And that's not so bad, were it not for the fact that when it blew the hoses out, we had carpeting that got soaked, man, twice. Had to bring in those guys from Service Pro out in the valley. Great guys, really great guys, as a matter of fact. And they're not, you know, they're not sponsors, but they came out, these guys, Service Pro, and they dried out the carpeting. And guess what? One of the guys, after the second trip out, quit.
Oh, my God. He quit. Why?
Because he said, that's it. I'm quitting. I'm out of this business. He couldn't believe that he had to go out two, three times to dry out the carpeting. These folks that the hose on their, you know, on the washing machine. So I got so upset. And I remember that Maria and the kids were on vacation, and they were in Florida, and so I was dealing with this. And I was fine. That was fine with me to deal with it. And I not only was I dealing with it, but I was on the air every day giving people updates on just how crap can these washing machines were. Now, I got to tell you something. That's the one and only time I've ever had a problem with a Sears washing machine.
Yeah, Sears, man, they've become a sponsor Otherwise, you're just giving it away.
Well, yeah, but maybe they'll become a sponsor if they hear him say good stuff.
No, they won't. But I'm still happy to say it, okay?
If you're happy with the product, I think that's good. But, I think there should be a little, as Frank has called it from time to time, recompense. Okay?
Yeah, okay, Margaret. Look, you know, not everything is a handshake and a wink, okay? I mean, if they want to, never mind. I'm just saying it. Because I've had a Sears washer and dryer now for I don't know how long. It's a damn good washer and dryer.
This is Phil Hendry for Sears.
No, I'm not getting... Don't make it sound like I'm getting paid, because I'm not. I'm not getting paid. I'm just telling you. I got a washer and dryer from Sears. The other day, I was looking at this, and I was thinking, how long have I had this? And I realized I've had it for over 10 years. And both the washer and the dryer that were in another house, and I brought them to this house. And I'm looking up going... Man, I've had these for a long damn time, and I've had the dryer repaired one time, just one time, and...
Well, okay, see, right there shows you how crappy it is.
What are you talking about? One time, man? And the washer I haven't had to have repaired at all. So I'm just telling you. I was very happy. I'm happy to report that now, just as... Okay, now the picture's finally updated some 3 minutes after I... But take a look at this.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Margaret, it's not that bad.
It's not. Look at that.
No, Mr. Henry, that's bad. That's bad.
What, are you crying?
I can't believe... Were you okay?
What, are you guys bawling? Yeah, I was okay. I was fat.
Man, I can't believe
it. Oh, knock it off, man. I don't look as bad as Louis Anderson.
I wouldn't be so sure, Phil.
I do not. Oh, you're out of your mind. I don't look as bad as... But that is a bad picture. There's no question. Look at that. Look at how fat my head is. Look at how stupid that hair. Why didn't I just get that haircut?
Probably good you had a long hair. If you were bald with that fat head, you'd be bad.
You look almost... Greg Fitzsimmons, is he a normal-sized man and you're, like, gigantic?
What does that mean?
Well, I'm Greg Fitzsimmons. Everything about his head's teeny or everything.
Yeah, it looks like one of those pictures you see from the Barnum and Bailey, where the big freak man and then the normal man...
What are you talking about? I'm a normal-sized 6-foot man.
Yeah, well, and
Greg Fitzsimmons.
Is he normal-sized?
Yes, he's normal-sized. He's a normal-sized guy. I'm a normal. I'm fat. I'll tell you this much. I'll tell you this much. That head, that fat head on me, man, that is not how big my head is when I must... Is there a lot of fat that... I guess my head's fat.
Yes. Hey, you finally get it.
All right, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show with more. Take a look at my... Go to our webpage.
Yeah, you dog, your weight goes to your fat face.
Our webpage, philhendryshow.com. Back with our next hour in a moment.
Oh, my God, look at that.
Oh, will you take it easy?
Well, I'm pretty fat, man.
All the fat went to your face.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
You know, I've been avoiding, and we will continue to avoid any, reporting on the Boston, the bomb in Boston, because I'm not going to be sitting here sounding like a rank amateur like every other talk show host discussing what's right, what's wrong. One of the things that I do know about, I don't know anything about police work because I'm not a police officer. I can certainly comment on, as a citizen, I can say, well, have we caught the culprit yet? What's going on? But as a guy who's been in the media for a long time, I know, I've watched a lot of sloppy work. And I'm telling you that as soon as I saw all of these reports about, well, we have a photograph here and here's the bag. And I was having a hard time processing all of this supposed information being, magically captured on photographs and magically captured on videotape, and look what this is, and look what that is, and they have a picture here, the picture there. Now, as you may have heard, the Daily News of New York is now being accused of having doctored its front page photo from the events of Monday in Boston. The New York Post on Tuesday was derided for apparent inaccuracies in its reporting on the bombing at the Boston Marathon. Now its rival tabloid, the Daily News, is facing criticism over apparent photo touch-ups. On yesterday's cover wrap, the news ran a photo taken by John Thamaki of the Boston Globe showing an injured woman lying in a pool of blood while being tended to by a civilian. In what was one of many widely circulated images capturing the moments after explosives were detonated near the finish line of the marathon on Monday afternoon, killing at least three and wounding more than 170 in a likely terrorist attack, which police are still scrambling to scare up leads. But the version published by the news seemed to erase a gory wound to the woman's leg that was visible in other publications that used the photo. On Tuesday evening, a link to the blog post exposing the manipulation began circulating among news journalists, some of whom were none too pleased about the situation. Multiple newsroom sources have told this news service, the Capital News Service, used by Yahoo. "If you can't stomach the gore, don't run the photo, period," wrote Charles Apple, the author of the blog post and an editor at the Orange County Register of Santa Ana, California. He also noted that Newark's Star Ledger ran the same photo on page one exactly as it had been taken by the Globe. In deciding to run the photo, the news was confronted with the same conundrum facing all news outlets covering the Boston tragedy, or any violent story for that matter, whether or not certain images are simply too grisly for public consumption. But in altering it, the paper violated a basic journalistic principle. Are you kidding me? How many of these guys are violating basic journalistic principles every day? You got to be kidding with that one.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
You're kidding me. These guys are violating basic journalistic principles every day. You see more and more opinion and comment in all of these stories. You don't see the who, what, where, when, and why and all that stuff until you're buried like halfway through the article. They start everything out with an editorial practically, or they start everything out with some kind of a pitch to sensationalize, but they're not giving me any information. Most of the news, and I've had this particular problem over the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, quite frankly, the news that we get off the wire or off of the internet or wherever we're getting it is it's worthless. It's just absolutely worthless. It doesn't tell me anything. It's generally we're getting news stories that are not news at all. We're getting, you know, fooled by the headlines written specifically to draw you in so that you'll linger over some jackball story having nothing to do with anything. You remember that one headline, Bud? What was that?
Yeah, it said something about a guy's head got blown off or something, and it turned out it was like a doll.
What?
What is that?
Yeah, well, I forget.
Well, that's what I was doing. So, like, a guy got blown up, then it turns out it was like a rubber doll.
Yeah, it was a blow-up sex dummy.
Was that the story I was asking about?
I don't know.
Well, so what is that?
Well, it seems like there's always a story like that.
Yeah, they're just saying that man blows up, and it turns out he was... If he's having, I don't know anything about it. If he's having sex with the what?
Yeah, with a rubber dummy.
With a rubber dummy. What are you looking at, Phil?
Well, I'm wondering what you people are talking about.
You asked about...
I know what I asked about the phony baloney reporting. And I seem to remember a story that was a huge thing.
Well, you know, like the old house burnt, you know, blown off the foundation, okay? And then it's like an outhouse or something.
Well, I still don't think that's a story. Did that actually happen?
It probably did, yeah.
Yeah, it probably did.
Well, no, it probably did isn't the same thing. House blown off of its foundation, it was an outhouse.
Yeah, you can probably... I mean, I seem to remember that.
I remember one like that.
No, you don't. But, I mean, that is an example of... that talk about sensationalizing. Wow.
That is very glaring. If a house is blown off of a foundation... Well, you're thinking, my God, that's where someone lives. There are children, there's a family there. But if an outhouse is blown off of a foundation, it almost, and God forgive me for what I'm about to say, it's almost amusing. I'm not saying that it is, but it's almost, because you can imagine a man sitting on a toilet.
Yeah, and then getting blown up.
Yes, and he's being blown to bits.
And that's funny.
No, it's not funny, Phil. I'm trying to...
You guys are using all the wrong analogies here. Just never mind, okay? I want to get back to this, because this is something that really bugs me. Violating journalistic... And look, all we're talking about here is an industry that provides the public with the facts and figures on stuff that's happening out there in the world beyond where we are. So we're here, and the folks that are listening to me are where they are, and there's other stuff happening elsewhere. And so we have this thing called the news business, the news services. We have newspapers, we have websites, we have broadcasts that lets us know of what's happening out there in the world. These people, as you, you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, these people make the decision. Aha, now what shall we tell them about? And of course, the more paranoid among us say, oh, well, it's all being manipulated for a certain reason. Of course it's being manipulated for a certain reason, but the obvious reason seems to escape people. Everybody wants to think it's about, you know, the some cabal controlling the information. People are talking about false flag and this. Now, let me tell you what it's manipulated by, folks. It's the simplest thing in the world, and nobody wants to just face the fact. It's manipulated by how good is business. And what do we got to do to beat the guy across the street? What do we need to put in our newspaper that's going to sell more newspapers than that guy? It's as simple as that. And it's the same thing with broadcast, and it's the same thing with cable, it's the same thing with internet. What's going to get more eyeballs on what we're doing than other people?
Yeah, it's like when if the lady has a boob job, they're going to get more eyeballs.
Exactly.
What has that got to do with anything?
Why'd you say that?
Well, I mean, it is about it. You said eyeball.
Now, when you talk about eyeball, you talk about people looking, right?
Yeah.
Well, what's going to get more eyeball?
A boob job.
Okay. Yeah, boob job.
You know something? Both of you guys should start all over again. I don't know what they do with the two of you, and I'm not saying that you should be... I mean, you should be on this planet, but you two, the versions of you that are you, need to be eradicated.
What's that mean?
I mean, both of you ought to be thrown right down a hole.
God, Margaret.
Well, I'm getting sick of it.
I think I know what you guys are saying. Eyeballs, and that means whatever it takes. So a woman gets a boob job, and she's got fake boobs, but hey, it gets a lot of people looking at her.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, you can say that the newspaper business is the same thing. The newspaper business is the same thing. Whatever's going to get people... And everybody wants to make it all about, ooh, you know, it's nefarious, and it's the Jews, and the this, and the... Oh, for God's sake, people. It's right in front of your noses, man. It's called the media revolution. It is trying to stay in business with the technology turning over. It's just good old-fashioned free enterprise and the competition therein, and it's beating the crap out of some people, and other guys are getting rich. That's it. In a nutshell. So these guys decide they're going to doctor up a photograph. And so they cover up this gory wound on this woman's leg. And it was a very widely circulated photograph, but these guys weren't sure whether they should show it or not. And they went ahead and they did. And in covering, they went ahead and they covered it up, I should say. And in doing so, they violated these basic journalistic principles. Editing should maintain the integrity of the photographic image's content and context according to the ethics code for the National Press Photographer Association, a professional society. Do not manipulate images in any way that can mislead viewers or misrepresent the subject. Several news insiders told Capital the decision to alter the photo came straight from the top of the masthead. That doesn't surprise me at all. You got more amateurs now running things than ever before. You got more frightened, scared news editors, managers, programmers, you name it, people that are the middlemen and you know, the upper middlemen. These guys have forgotten what they do for a living. All they're worried about is going home to mama, you know. Photographers and editors are so embarrassed and saddened by this, said one source. Reached for comment this morning, a news spokesperson would only say the Daily News does not comment on its editorial decision-making. A spokesman for the Globe also declined to comment. Ta-da!
There is the pressure cooker bomb that you're talking about.
Right, and I still don't know, understand how they were able to... this was a huge bomb. How is it that this thing exploded... And this backpack is still in relatively one piece, or am I just looking at something sort of...
I think the bomb went off and all of that's just kind of packed around the metal.
Joe Andruzzi and Matt Chatham raced into the chaos to help in whatever way they could. I also heard that term used, they raced toward the chaos. This is a part of a Marine Corps commercial that is on right now. Wherever there is trouble, Marines race to the sounds of chaos. And now all of a sudden everybody's picking up on that line and they're using it in the reporting of this. Everyone's racing to the chaos.
Well, how do you know they got it from the commercial?
Because the commercial is out there and it's running and now everyone's using the line, that's all. All right, enough about that. I just thought I would mention something, and don't be surprised if they, in the days to come, pictures of the bomb, pictures of this bag, pictures of where a guy might have been standing with the bag and the bomb, don't be surprised if it's all a load. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. A backstage pass gets you each day, along with 5,000 hours of audio and video and everything. It gets you every day now the brand-new Classic Phil podcast. We will deliver to you a podcast from our classic archives. That's just a part, just one part of the amazing things you get with your backstage pass. philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
With us, Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action. It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers,
or the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state law.
Okay. Now, I played your theme music for you.
Thank you. Hold on for a minute.
That's awfully loud, bud.
Gotta hear the citizens' police.
That's great, and I think it's awfully loud. On the line with us is Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and we welcome you, Jay. Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Phil. And again, I simply was attempting to have as much of that theme music as the old Highway Patrol. Hold on for a minute, Roger Philippine. We had an incident here last week where the Citizens Auxiliary Police, which we have used the Highway Patrol theme, we had got reports from, as you know, Oregon and Beaver Brigade, which is my brother Ray Santos, that they had used that, and we told them they were not allowed to. So,
well, what do you guys have some rights to that?
We don't have any rights technically to it, but we use it, and when my own brother starts to go on local radio in Oregon and is using that for the Beaver Brigade, we did have some concern, and we did communicate that with him at that time.
All right. Well, congratulations. What we want to talk about here, though, is your contention. You are agreeing with Alex Jones, the radio host, that this is a false flag operation?
That is my contention. I don't want, and I understand, Phil, that there is there's an awful lot of serious news here to be taken into consideration with the Boston Marathon. I don't want to get into any of that. As a matter of fact, I'm not even saying I want to talk specifically about Boston, but I do want to talk about something that I think needs to be talked about, and that is that the government is in a very good place indeed, to create false flag operation. If you don't want to talk about Boston, we can certainly talk about a Texas fertilizer. If you don't want to talk about a Texas fertilizer, we can certainly talk about anything that has blown up in the last however many months. But the government is in a great thing about it. Just think about it for a minute. The government of the United States can go anywhere it wants to go and create an event or stage an event which is going to distract and is going to defray and diffuse attention away from where it ought to be. Now, if you have a false flag operation...
Well, hold on. So what's the point of a false flag operation?
Well, the point of a false flag operation is simply to divert public attention to the point where the government can then create more control until our freedoms is taken away from us.
All right. Now, I want to ask you a question, because I've heard this before.
Hold on for a minute, Mr. Ernie. I wanted to get this out. Alex Jones, who is the radio host, who is one of the there's the prominent proponents of this. When he's on his radio program, he is able to express his opinion about a false flag. And as you know, he doesn't have another host there who's interrupting him and telling him, well, you know, he gets to talk. He gets to talk about it.
And, well, unfortunately, Mr. Santos, you're a guest.
No, I understand that. Yeah.
Yeah, and because you're a guest, you're going to have to sort of stop and answer some. I wish that it, you know, for you know, I'm sure someday, maybe if you want to get your own radio show.
I won't do that. But I think I want everyone to notice that while I'm trying to talk about, you're, you know, sort of taking me off the point.
Well, I'm not doing it because I work for the government. Okay.
No, I know that, Mr. Henry, but you may have. I mean, I don't want to see you drink the Kool-Aid, but, you know.
You know, this is the thing, excuse me for saying this, but this is the thing with conspiracy people. If you don't agree with them, you have, you know, you've imbibed with the Kool-Aid, you don't get it. You know, there's a million and one ways for you guys to look at anyone that doesn't agree with you and say, well, here's where you're wrong. But you guys do very little self-scrutiny any introspection and ask yourselves, are you really on the right track here, or are you guys just being paranoid? Or, in the case of Mr. Jones, am I doing the right thing here as I knowingly manipulate public opinion so I can make money?
Okay, see, I think that's dirty pool. You know,
it's what?
It's dirty pool.
Dirty pool. It's dirty pool.
Yeah, I think what you're saying about Mr. Jones is wrong. You're saying, in other words, he's lying?
I'm saying that Alex Jones can't possibly be that stupid. I'm sorry. And I believe he's saying this because he knows he's got a lot of people listening who will buy lots of books, lots of tapes, lots of discs, lots of stuff, and make him rich. And
all right, so you basically call me stupid because...
I don't mean to say that, sir, but if you're buying into the idea that this is a false flag operation...
Why are you, Mr. Henry, hold on, I'm in the front line of law enforcement. I'm with the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Now, see, you're just the kind of guy, man. You're not a real cop. You know...
Here we go again with that.
Well, yeah, here we go again. You're not a real cop.
I am a member of Citizens Auxiliary Police.
That's fine. I'm a member of the Phil Henry Auxiliary Police. What does that do?
I've never heard of you.
Well, a lot of people have never heard of you guys.
It doesn't matter. We are out saving lives. Are you out saving lives?
No, sir. I'm not out saving lives. I'm not gonna knock what you do, Jay, but no police force in the state of California or anywhere else recognizes you as a legitimate law enforcement agency.
All right, but the fact is, we are not involved in those kind of politics. I'm about just getting a job done. All right, and if that means that I got some other guy with a tin badge and a donut problem... And he wants to sit in his black and white. Well, I'm out rolling. I'm rolling on it, see? He wants to sit in his black and white.
You're rolling on what, man? Here you go with this donut thing. Jay, let's get off of that for just a second, okay? All right, you're the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and you believe that what Alex Jones is saying is true. Let me ask you something. Where is your proof? No, hold on. Not proof. Where's your evidence?
You're talking... All right, so we're talking about, we're talking about oranges and apples.
No. I'm talking about oranges and apples. Are we not talking about the false flag of Boston?
Well, we're talking about false flag operation.
All right, well, if you're saying false flag, let's talk about it. Are you saying that that's a false flag operation?
I'm saying that... I don't want to talk about Boston, okay? I'm just saying in general.
All right, well, in general, don't you think you should have evidence?
There is evidence. The evidence is that if we are distracted... They get to make another law that strips away our rights.
That's not evidence of anything. That's your opinion of something that may or may not happen as the result of this. You have created, you call evidence your paranoia.
Well, okay, Mr. Henry, you gotta hold on. Now,
all right, we gotta take a break, okay?
You gotta take a break.
Yes, sir.
All right, right when I'm about to make my point, you gotta take a break. You're saying I'm paranoid? I'm paranoid?
What?
I said, I want to see,
Phil,
I can't even get to say, see, I can't say what I want to say.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I don't want to get into any specifics. I agree with you on that one, Jay, but we're talking about so-called false flag operations. And that's when, you know, something is instigated. This is in the minds of people that believe in these kinds of things. When the government instigates something in order to keep the public preoccupied from their more nefarious activity, which is to strip our rights away.
Mr. Henry, you know, if I could just...
Go ahead.
You're saying, and this is in the minds of people. In other words, I'm watching your Phil television, how you call it, and I know you're talking about me, and I know that you're saying that I'm a freak and a freak of nature.
No, sir, I haven't used that.
You're saying, and in the minds of, you know, because my wife is here and my son is here, and they're watching on the Phil TV. And I just want you to know that when you go, you know, we're talking about individuals who are in the mind, you know, my wife kind of looked at me, my son looks at me like I'm some kind of a freak.
Well, I don't mean to call you a freak, sir. I think, though, that what you're saying about false flag operations is there's no evidence at all. It's all based on opinion that is primarily of a paranoid, has no basis in anything other than the paranoid political views of the individuals involved, and God knows why that started.
Well, let me ask you, Mr. Henry, now that I'm in front of my wife and my son are here, and they're looking at me on the Phil TV as I talk, and they hear you call me a freak on wheels.
I didn't call you that.
You can call me a freak. Well, no, I know.
I didn't call you a freak on wheels.
He said freak on a wheel.
Yes, a freak on a wheel.
What do you mean a freak on a wheel?
Did you call me a freak on a wheel?
Freak a wheel.
What are you talking? What is it?
Did you call me a freak a wheel?
A freak a wheel?
No.
He's saying freak on wheel.
No, I'm saying freak a wheel.
Freak on wheels.
Plural, two wheels?
I think so. God. Are you trying? Am I a freak on a unicycle? No.
A freak on a unicycle?
No, you're telling me I said freak on a wheel. That would mean a unicycle. And that would make me a freak. That would make me some kind of a gay freak. I don't know. It's very gay. And all I'm trying to say...
I didn't call you a freak on anything. I didn't call you a freak. I said that, this stuff's in your mind.
Okay, what is your evidence of that?
My evidence of that is your lack of evidence. When you guys say that this is a false flag, okay, fine. Where's your evidence? And what do I mean by evidence? I want to see documents other than what Alex Jones got from another nut, who got it from another nut, from another guy that dummied it up. I want to see actual, real testimony, and I want to see an investigation that is objective, and I want to see it, and I want to see it now, and I don't want to hear a lot of horse dung. And you guys always come up with more reasons why stuff isn't, well, you know, the government's hiding. You know, I'm telling you, it's a very easy thing to say when you don't get your way and you don't get your point of view heard and you don't get to say what you want to say. It's very easy to say, well, the government's hiding things. You know, the biggest shock in the world is going to happen when you guys find out there's no little green men, there was no inside job at 9/11, that there's real evil in the world, and it comes from really evil people, and evil people do stuff even to a great country like America, and America doesn't control everything. We don't control the weather, and we don't control everything that happens, and we really are up for grabs, and our asses are on the line, and sometimes we get killed, and we can lose this country. You guys think that it's all set. It's all set, and America's going to be here till the end of time, and all we're doing is playing a game like God. And in a lot of ways, I think that's what's happening. The world of the paranoids, like you, Jay, think that America is like this big god controlling everything all over the world.
Yeah, you have made me, and your little speech there, you can give one piece of evidence that it's not happening.
It's not my job, man. That's your job.
Why? It's my job to do what? I said that the government is a false flag operations.
Right, so I'm telling you, what's your proof?
You just proved. What's your proof?
No. That's not how it works, my man.
Excuse me. What's your proof? Yes, it does.
No, it does not. I'm not making the charges. You're bringing the charges here. Just like in our own court of law, the burden of proof is on those prosecuting. The individual who's defending doesn't have to say anything. That's why the stupid... That's where your whole thing falls apart, man. You guys are constantly asking the very individuals that you're attacking to prove themselves... When in point of fact, you can't prove it.
I'll tell you, I'll prove it right now. That every time there's a violent terror attack or anything, the rights get taken away.
What rights have been taken away from us?
Are you kidding me or something, Mr. Henry? You got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding. What rights have been taken away from us?
What about the right to bear arms?
The right to bear...
More and more people...
Jay, where is the...
I don't want to debate two people, if you don't mind. I'd like to just debate one, okay?
All right, tell you what. Vernon Dozier is on the line.
Oh, thank God, Vernon. Thank God for Vernon Dozier.
Okay, well, you know him?
Yes, I do know him, and he is a man of impeccable credential.
Vernon Dozier joins us from Belmar Academy in Glendale. You're not at Belmar, but you're at home, right, Vernon?
Yes, I am right now, and I'm listening with my jaws. I'm wide-eyed. My jaw is wide open. I almost said to my wife, I said, I might as well undo my fly and have that hanging open so that everything on me is wide open, because what I'm listening to, Mr. Henry, and I understand that Mr. Sanders is not the easiest. By the way, my name is Sanders. I apologize, Mr. Santos, is not the easiest man to understand, but Phil, our country right now, are you kidding? Yeah, I'm trying to make him understand. I'll handle it, Jay, just hold on for a minute. Are you trying to tell me that you don't recognize that our government is in a position to create a mental image that, there's terror and there's this horror all around? And then they can get us to vote away our rights, or we don't even vote. The people in Washington vote on it.
That's right, on a constitution.
No, they're not voting on a cut. Jay, just if you don't mind, would you let me do this?
And all right, Jay, I'll talk to Vernon for just a second.
Well, it's fine, but I mean, it's my ball game too.
I understand it is, yes, sir. But I just so Phil,
you haven't brought up any proof either.
What do you mean I haven't brought up any proof either? I'm telling you that the government of the United States of America... Are you telling me that the government right now doesn't have some kind of viewing device? Do you know we have CCTV cameras? You know that, don't you?
That's right, Mr. Chairman. There's a CCTV at the street corner.
Right. You know that.
CCTV? You mean the security cameras out in malls and things like that?
Exactly.
Sure, we've got those.
Oh, okay. So you know that we have those. And you're telling me, even though you know that when you go home, you don't suspect that they've got a camera in probably some of the most vulnerable places. And I think if you think about it,
talk about it, in the bathroom.
Could you again, Jay, I would ask you to just let me do this, if you don't mind, because I'm the one that chaired the meeting. Do you agree with that, Mr. Henry?
Do I agree with what? That because they have traffic cameras and security cameras in malls, they have a camera in my house?
Absolutely. Would it surprise you, sir? Would it surprise you if I told you, you want proof? I'll give you proof. I pulled from the inside rim of my toilet off the master bedroom. From the inside rim, I pulled a small surveillance camera, not a still photography camera, this is a small surveillance video tracking camera from the inside rim of the toilet, pointed straight up through the rim. Now, before you start thinking that this was the work of some kind of a sexual deviant, let me tell you that conversations are had in bathrooms. If there's been one conversation had in a bathroom involving national security, there have been a million. That's why you often hear of them going into a bathroom and turning up the water or flushing the toilet,
Well, then it wouldn't make any sense to put the camera in the toilet.
You don't understand.
Is there anything? They got to put it in a place that's concealed.
I got it, Jay. Let me do it, okay?
They got to put it in a place that's concealed.
Yes, that's exactly right. They have to put it in a place that's concealable. So before you start thinking, and your audience, you guys start getting your cookies over the fact that someone put a camera in my toilet, aimed right up to where you'd be sitting, let me remind you that there are conversations.
Why is someone putting a camera in your bathroom?
Because I'm on your radio program. I chaired a meeting of the National Third Wheel Association. We are... We're part of the larger Alex Jones infrastructure, and Mr. Sanders was at that meeting.
That's right. It was last Friday night over at McGuire's.
All right. Well, you didn't have to tell. We had it at a local tavern, And I chaired that. So why do they have a camera in my toilet? Why do you think?
And you don't think that there was any, because I know you're married to a much younger woman.
Don't you dare bring my wife into this.
All right, I'm not. But the fact is, you don't think there was someone in your house, like a workman or someone else, trying to invade the privacy of your family.
A workman? This is where you're just confused.
Boy, Mr. Henry, you are really way off the beaten path here, mister. You know, you guys
in the media get so confused by things.
No, I think what I'm asking is a far more logical question. Okay?
A logical question. Look, because my wife happens to be gorgeous doesn't mean that plumbers or electricians are going to come in here and plant a camera to see her nude inside of a toilet. That just doesn't make any sense.
But what does make sense is that they put a toilet cam in your house to track your movements because you chaired a meeting of the Third Wheel Association.
That's right, yeah. What do you think is more likely? That they're going to want to know what I'm doing and have a camera in my toilet because I'm going to have conversations in the bathroom. What do you think? Or that a guy who is going to come in and put, you know, you do it. Mr. Henry, you have frustrated this conversation.
No. You guys, you know what? Hold on.
I don't understand. I think they're making sense, but I also want to understand your point.
You think they're making sense?
Yeah, if they put a toilet cam.
They just basically just waved the white flag of surrender when that guy Dozier said he had a toilet camera.
Well, he found it, Phil.
I know he found it. It doesn't mean the government put it there. It could have been some weird ass that works for him. It could have been anything, you know.
Well, what, do you think his wife did? I bet you, yeah, sure, his wife put a toilet camera there so she could look at his butt?
She already can see, well...
I didn't say his wife put it there. His wife is 30 years younger. I'm telling you right now, it's the things in life that are inexplicable that create a vacuum of information. There's a vacuum where we want to fill it with information. And I've heard this said. It's very true. When there are no answers, a vacuum is created. And we want to readily fill that vacuum with anything. And it's like, it's almost as if you're trying to keep a river from rising, and you're just throwing anything into a levee, no matter how flimsy, you know. That's what we do with the lack of information. We just throw all kinds of bull crap in there. Everything from the government's put a camera in my toilet.
I don't think it's fair for you to laugh.
Yeah, okay. We'll be right back. Don't go away, which I'm sure you won't. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
You gotta let me do it. I'll let you do it, but I get to say something. Yeah, but every time you say something, Santos, you come out, you sound like such a jackass.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I don't know about that.
All right, welcome back here. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Last few minutes here with Vernon Dozier and Jay Santos. Mr. Dozier is a teacher of, well, he's one of the health and fitness teachers. He's a varsity football coach as well as a member of the board at Belmar Academy. And we have with us Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Vernon, you were making the point, and I know I said to you guys, and I stand by this, that those of you who are in these organizations that believe the government creates false flags, false flag operations, I frankly believe that you're not engaged in honest research, okay?
Well, yeah, I heard you talking to Mr. Northgraf about the so-called empirical formula, and you're telling me that I've got to prove myself wrong. What kind of sense does that make for me to prove myself wrong?
I'm just saying that if you have a theory, the first thing you should do in the empirical formula is to disprove your own theory. That's what a scientist would tell you.
Well, I can tell you, for me to disprove my own theory, that's impossible. Because if you look at the false flag, the nature of the false flag operation, which is to cause me to be confused, all right, and Mr. Santos... And I've known Jay Santos for 6 or 7 years, and I know he's a man of high caliber and good quality.
Thank you.
I also know Jay to be a guy that's confused. You're, you know, easily confused, I think, by a lot of things.
Yeah, a lot of times I am, yeah.
All right, and so I'd say, what a hopeless... Of course we're confused. We've been confused by the government. So you're telling me, you know, how can I ever prove myself wrong if I've been confused? I'm trying to find my way out of my confusion and attack the very thing that's confused. Let me give you the Janet Jackson. Did you get my materials on Janet Jackson, Mr. Hendry?
Did we get...
Yeah, I got it on an email.
That's exactly right. I sent it on the email. Did you get that?
I think Bud's reviewing it.
All right. Well, when he reviews it, Janet Jackson appeared on an Oprah Winfrey program here not too long ago and then was also in a press conference. Now, both times, I wrote it off as a coincidence. She glanced to her right. She glanced to her right on both occasions, on the Oprah Winfrey show and on a press conference that she was on. Mr. Santos, you...
I don't remember what the press conference was about, but I know you being.
Both times in the glance, her eyes locked with mine. Now, I understand I'm watching on television. I understand that. But how often is it going to... How likely is it that two separate broadcasts from two completely different venues, one in color, the other in black and white, one, I think, was on the Oprah Winfrey show, and the other was in I swear to God, I think it was Africa or Russia. She was a long way away. And both times, her eyes met mine. When she returned to the United States and I contacted the Secretary of State, I said that I would like access, if I could, to the travel plans of Ms. Jackson. They asked me what my name was. I said it was Vernon Dozier. They said they'd get back to me. I always love that. Well, guess what? They got back to me within 2 days. They said, no, you may not.
Yeah, see, that was to me.
Yeah. Now...
And what is that significant of?
What is it significant of? They said, what's your name? I said, Vernon Dozier. And you could almost hear on the other end of the phone, very quick, and I know you've heard it, Jay, that intake of breath.
Exactly right, Mr. Henry. Well, a lot of time you hear the intake. I'll go, you know, like that.
Well, it doesn't sound that stupid, but...
What do you mean stupid? I mean, that's what I heard.
Well, I heard on the other end, she goes, what's your name? I said, Vernon Dozier. She goes, like you know.
Well, that sounded like an orgasm or something like that.
God, are you vile? An orgasm? I apologize, Mr. Henry.
All right, we had about enough of this conversation.
Are you listening to me or not?
I'm listening to you, and nothing either you or Mr. Santos is saying.
I told you that when I said I'd like access to Janet Jackson's travel records, and...
What made you think that you would get access to another private citizen's travel records?
Because I had said to the woman that on two separate occasions on television, her eyes locked into mine.
You see, Mr. Henry, you want proof. You always talk about proof. There is some evidence right there that Janet Jackson knows that that Dozier was tracking the movements.
Yeah, uh-huh. What for?
What for what?
You were tracking Janet Jackson's movements?
I was watching her on TV. I didn't do it. Yeah, I mean, why don't you let me do it?
I was just trying to help.
Why don't you let me do it? I was looking at her on TV. What do you want to know?
You know what I want to know? I want to know if either one of you guys has ever had a Rorschach test.
The what?
Yeah.
A Rorschach test is when they put an ink blot.
Oh, the ink blot. Okay, so you think I'm cuckoo. That's all I needed to hear, Henry. You are now officially a government operative, okay?
Because I asked you...
Have I ever had an ink blot test? That means am I nuts? You're asking me, have I ever had my head shrunk by an army doctor? And the answer, okay, is yes. And I'm being honest about it. Have you?
I've had my head shrunk.
No, by an army doctor.
No.
Yeah. I have. Clean bill of health. What about you, Sanders?
My name is Jay Sanders.
I don't give a... Have you had your head shrunk by an army doctor?
I have had. I don't know what you mean by that.
Have you been to a psychiatrist who works for the United States government?
I would have to say that I have.
Have you?
No, I have not. You see what I'm saying? Both of you guys are absolutely out of the loop. You got no idea. I have been to the finest psychiatric hospitals run by the... And I guess now you see what you're doing? Oh, he's crazy. No, I'm not. I got... The Army said I'm fine. At least that's what they told me. Unless they told my wife something else, and they were talking to her for about a half an hour.
Phil Hendry.